You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Hello! Can you hear music? You know, last episode, I guess it was two episodes ago by the time Todd, the interloper, comes in. But this is the song where we play. Remember it?
Yes,
dun,
I do.
Dun, 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 dun.
Big Hair.
That should be, when Big Hair, that should be our theme music. That would be so awesome. Good. All right, turn it off. But we have theme music, right? I can never hear theme music because we don't record over the music. But what is our theme music? It's not Human League, is it?
No, it's not. Is that the band's name? Human League?
I think so. Human League.
Yeah. It must have really been a one-hit wonder.
Wow. You don't know anything about music from the 80s. You're just a young kid in the 80s. The Human League they still exist. And 1979, their third album, Don't You Want Me, was the big thing. I guess they had some others further. Hits followed, Mirror Man, Fascination. I don't remember these. The Lebanon, Human, Tell Me One. Oh, Human went to number one. What is that? Human. I'm looking this up. Human.
All right. Don't play it, though.
No, I'm going to. Do we have to, get licenses for these things?
Isn't it, I think after 10 seconds or something like that?
Oh, is that right? Here we go. Let's listen.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a commercial. Now I got an Uber commercial. Wait. I'm waiting to skip the ad. Here we go. All right. See if you recognize it. It's. Oh, yeah. You recognize this?
No.
You don't recognize this? We're only human, flesh and blood. We're made.
Okay. So right, today we have a great question from a Canadian.
This is why people love our podcast. Useless things.
Name that tune. Well, you have the radio voice, so you could totally do the whole name that tune thing.
Name that tune. We're playing the hits all day and all night here with Daniel Lim. All right, go for it.
All right, well, today we have a question from a Canadian that I connected with a few weeks back, so let's listen in.
Hey, guys. My name's Jeremy, and I'm the lead pastor of Ascending Church in Whitehorse, Yukon Territory. The Yukon is about the size of California, but only has 40,000 residents, and 30,000 of those residents are living in and around the city of Whitehorse. So, considering that population ratio, what guidance can you give us to help us plant successfully and, Lord willing, frequently? Lastly, big thanks to Daniel for hanging out in BC this past week. Thanks so much for your insight and your humility. And thank you for Ed and Todd for backing him up. Talk to you later.
That's our goal, man. We exist to back up Daniel in. We're like the backup band. When he's singing, we're only human, we're in the back saying, human. Americans are like, what's BC? Is that, before Christ? Is that the back country? Is that
British Columbia?
Oh, British Columbia. Man, that's way out there, man. He is way out there.
So he's up in the Yukon above. So I met him. I was speaking at the Fellowship Evangelical Baptist. Their Pacific.
I love the Febs.
Their Pacific District, their annual meeting. And it was fun to connect with him and the church that he planted out of his, the church that he sent out. And it was cool. I mean, I don't really know many people from the Yukon.
Is it pronounced the Yukon? Because people say the Ukraine and people from Ukraine, that drives them a little crazy.
So Yukon territory.
Is it the Yukon or is it Yukon?
Well, he called it Yukon Territory.
Yeah, so. Okay. So territories. So we don't have territories anymore in the United States because we are, actually we do. So I was going to make a Canadian joke, but I said no Canadian jokes were necessary. So anyway, all right, moving on. So the question then is, this is a tricky one because it's, you've got this 30,000 in Whitehorse.
Yeah, in and around Whitehorse, and there's 40,000 people in the territory or equivalent, the state or the area.
To plant multiple churches. Well, I think probably it's going to have to be, because, these are small communities, there's going to have to be some sort of sometimes what we used to call a field of churches. I don't know if you use that phrase a lot, but there has to be some means to plant churches. I mean, the 30,000 community Whitehorse, there can be some churches planted there and probably needs to be. You know, the over time, the United Church has waned, declined, and many times died away. Anglican as well has just not been significantly strong in most places. So, you know, he's going to be planting churches that are going to reach people there. So small town church planting, you know, Big Dreams in Small Places by Niebuhr is really helpful. The Rural Matters Institute. 30,000 is not rural. The rest around is rural. And when you're in a rural ocean, the island you're on still has rural characteristics. So I think the Rural Matters Institute would be real helpful. Actually, we have a Rural Matters Summit this September. Lots of things I think could be helpful with this. But I think the issue, once you get outside of the direct area of Whitehorse, is ultimately going to be your need something else other than a traditional strategy of we're gonna large launch. How do you large launch in a small in these small communities all around? So I think that's a challenge. So if he's thinking, you know, Canyon, you know, is about 60 kilometers away. You know, what does it look like to plant in Canyon or Haines Junction or Dalton Post? What does it look like to plant in Conrad? All these little communities, and then you get beyond those little communities. There's even smaller communities. So I think that's always going to be the challenge. What does it look like to plant in that little, there's a little highway two. What does it look like to plant in those little communities around there? Well, probably it looks like it might be a series of multi-sites out of that church.
Yeah, that's something that we've seen quite a bit now, right?
Yeah. It might be a series of house churches or network-connected churches. So I think, and it's interesting, you know, and if the Methodists were, if we were having a Methodist meeting 150 years ago, is that about right, 150 years ago, late 1800s, late 1700s, early 1800s, we would be asking the question, how do we create a circuit throughout Yukon Territory? And I think that's what he should be asking. Is there going to be some, I don't know, with traditional, it's weird to call things traditional when they don't have traditional looking buildings, but some traditional church plants, the way we've been doing them for the last 30 years. But then think in some way, how is a circuit going to come? Is it going to be technology? Is it going to be small? Is it going to be house-based? What is it going to be? Now, obviously you could tell, I mean, I don't know those names, those small communities I Googled, but I got to tell you, this is beautiful Whitehorse, Yukon Territory. We need to go visit there and do a conference. Have you ever been there, Daniel?
No, I've been as high up as Alaska, but I didn't go east toward the Yukon.
Yeah, so it is. I mean, the pictures here online, we got to go to Tokini Hot Springs, you and me, just hanging out the geothermal pools there and the Miles Canyon basalts. I mean, this is really quite, anyway, a little bit, don't want to join the Chamber of Commerce there at Whitehorse, but Google is your friend for this.
I mean, moving up northern British Columbia, I grew up in British Columbia, but northern BC all the way up to the territories and then, you know, on the state side of Alaska. I mean, it is absolutely gorgeous, but you're right, Ed. You then have to think about rural planting, and one thing that we've seen quite a bit is the emergence of rural multi-site. Now, a lot of people ask us with new churches, we talk about church planting, multi-site, and multiplication. And the church that I've been part of several multi-site churches, and my current church that I serve at, we are multi-site, but we do live preaching. Now, we share services, we have a common elder team, a common budget, common all this, but we actually, instead of doing video, we do live preaching. Now, I've been a part of multi-site churches that do video, but what's interesting in the rural context is how much more it seems like, how much more video is a viable and a thriving option. Because when you look at rural context where, hey, that the city, or not even a city, right? You wouldn't call it that. The neighborhood or the area is 1,000 people or 2,000 people. And you might have 20 to 30 to 40 people in a church, and that's a vibrant, a thriving church. Well, that church can't support a full-time pastor. But if you have a leadership team that the pastor or the sending church is raising up, and you're supporting them and caring for them, and they're bivocational there, what you can actually do if they are bivocational and you do video, then that's going to actually free up the pastor to do, you know, to be able to serve in other ways. Otherwise, you could still do live preaching and do a team teaching type of scenario, and that would actually help quite a bit as well.
Yeah, totally. I think the key in this, in the you come back to my language of circuit, well, not my language, but the Methodist language, is that there were empowered local leaders. So what what I wouldn't want is a bunch of people up and down Highway 2 there just sort of watching videos from Whitehorse. But what I would want is somebody local who's ministering and sharing, who may not feel that they have the gifts to preach and teach every week, or maybe they do, and then you've got an opportunity for a field of churches with preachers.
Yeah.
But if they don't, then that can be the tool. So, and I forget his name. Oh, gosh, I can't remember his name. But all along the Texas border, there's a series of church plants engaging Mexican immigrants, predominantly Mexican immigrants.
Oh, wow.
And they have a multi-site model that they're teaching from video. Actually, in the video production is a guy sitting in his house where one of the house church meets, and then up and down. There's about six or seven of them, and I'm going to remember before this podcast is over. But, you know, those kinds of things, I think, are going to be really key in rural communities, even some urban communities, certainly some marginalized communities. So I think to think strategically and missiologically here is key. And I think personally that you and I need to go. There's a Best Western there, the Best Western Gold Rush Inn. So we can stay. This is really a fun little place. We got to brag it on the Yukon River. We could go fishing, Daniel. Have you ever gone? You go fishing?
Not too often.
Oh, I'm disappointed in you. You know, we used, when we lived in Hendersonville, right in Tennessee, we lived close to the lake and we'd go fishing all the time. Now I live in Chicago. There's no place to fish. Well, I guess there is, but it's an hour away. So,
yeah.
But there's the SS Klondike National Historic Sites there. I'm working for the Chamber of Commerce here. You could call me Whitehorse. Call me Whitehorse, Yukon Territory. I'm ready to come and go fish there, and it's ready to go. The Westmark White House Historical Whitehorse Hotel and Conference Center. They got a conference center. Let's do our new churches global conference at the Westmark Whitehorse Hotel and Conference Center.
And you know, make it where everyone has to take three planes and
it's true. And they have
20 hours.
Oh, don't judge them. And they have free Wi-Fi. I mean, there's free Wi-Fi at the Westmark Whitehorse Hotel. And
there you go.
Center.
There you go. Hey, but before we finish off the podcast, Jeremy and everyone else who's listening, whether you're in a rural setting, in a urban setting, suburban, if you want to plant successfully, frequently, and multiply, I hope you hear us when we're saying, hey, it's not just about, you know, starting a video venue. It's not just about bringing people in or bringing
a video venue. That's
yeah. All. What we're saying is you need to be about equipping leaders, developing leaders. And especially if you're in a rural area, I would say don't rely on bringing outside talent in or bringing people from seminaries outside in. Really focus on in every one of your congregations to actually develop a residency, to raise up leaders, to apprentice them,
to grow them. Develop a residency. You got eight people in Bennett. How are you going to develop a residency with eight people in Bennett? Give me some more context here there, Chief. You can't just throw that out casually.
Okay.
Now it's like, develop a residency. How would we do that? See, I want to apologize to all our Canadians. Daniel doesn't understand Canada like I do. And so I understand, because Daniel only lived there how long?
My whole life.
And I have visited there multiple times. So as an American who has visited Canada multiple times, I have strong opinions that are to be override anyone who lived there his whole life.
Okay. So let me share one thing then. If you're looking at if you're wanting to go to seminary or you're wanting to, if you've heard us talk about competency-based education and anything like that and residency, and there's a lot of programs out there. Northwest Baptist Seminary, you got to look them up. They're the seminary tied to the Fellowship Evangelical Baptists, and they're one of the pioneers of competency-based theological education. They were a pilot through the Association of Theological Schools. It's amazing what they're doing, where actually through them, you could actually be in a church of 50 people up in the Yukon and get your MDiv through that, you through serving in that church through competency-based theological education. So the whole idea, I mean, that's a lot there, but the whole thing about the residency is basically, hey, in ministry, you can do an online degree. There can be support where you're practicing what you're learning, where you're growing, where you as the pastor can be apprenticing and leading and developing and coaching those in your church so that as they're doing their full-time job, they can actually be growing in their theological education, in pastoral ministry so that you can end up sending them out bivocationally. So
Kent Anderson would like to thank you for that plug for his program. And yes, by the way, if you want to know more about that program, it's called Immerse. If you Google Ed Stetzer Immerse Northwest, I've done a whole interview with Kent on that. And it really is an innovative program and really great connections there. And you don't have to be Feb to participate in that. And I'm glad you went to speak at their meeting. So that's awesome. And Kent's awesome.
Yeah, they really are. Well, thanks again for listening in. Be sure to subscribe if you haven't yet done so, and we will catch you next time.